Father, we thank you for this chance to be able to look at your word now and to look at this story of Christmas. And we pray that it would be a story and a message that brings hope and life and joy and peace and forgiveness. And we ask that your spirit would work in our hearts and minds now. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, welcome. My name's Greg Harris and I'm part of the ministry team here. And can I say to you, from my family to your families, I hope you've had a very holy and happy and safe Christmas so far, and that you continue to do so. I wanted to read for you again part of the message that you would have heard from the Gospel of Luke. Very familiar words. For instance, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, and you can't get by without thinking about a pillow on Graham's head now, can you? For shepherds living out in the fields nearby, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, as angels do, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. For today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you." Familiar words, aren't they? Familiar words. Read them nearly every Christmas. You may have been to a couple of different Christmas services or carol services and you've heard them already. But here's some other familiar words that we sometimes hear at Christmas. Words such as, "Honestly, I don't know why I bother. There's no magic in Christmas anymore." Or maybe this is familiar to you. "Christmas doesn't feel special anymore." Or maybe this is a little bit more familiar. "Christmas is just too busy, too commercial, too over the top, too much hype, too much. See, there's a bit of a dilemma, isn't there? There's a dilemma between, we know that there should be something more, and yet at the same time, Christmas can sometimes feel, well, empty or lacking. To sum up, you could possibly say, Christmas, meh, just not feeling it anymore. Just not feeling it. That was actually a phrase I heard a little while ago from somebody. And when I heard it, I went, ding. I thought, I have heard that so many times. Different words, but the same idea. Christmas, meh, just not feeling it. Maybe that describes you. It sometimes can describe me. There may be some amongst us for whom that is not true at all. Christmas is such a great time and a wonderful, deep and spiritual time for you. And to you I say, may God bless you and keep you and continue to pray for the rest of us. Because sometimes that's not always the case. For some of us, though, we could be sitting here this morning and when I talk about Christmas, man, just not feeling it, you're thinking, Greg, I'm just not comfortable with this whole idea of not feeling it in Christmas. You might be saying, well, this idea of feeling, it's just absurd, it's a bit too fluffy. Or you might be saying, that's actually totally unbiblical. Well, it may depend on what I mean by feeling it, in inverted commas. For instance, do I mean emotions and experience? Or do I mean at some deeper level, a spiritual stirring? Which one? Well, actually, I mean both. I actually do mean both. Because let me put my case to you. The very first Christmas was an extremely emotional and experiential time. Just listen to the Bible stories again and just listen carefully to them. But let me give you just some very quick examples. Mary, full of grace. Do we really think she was superhuman? Do we? Do we think that there were times when Mary did not feel extremely lonely and unbelievably vulnerable in a world in which she was a young, unwed mother? Do we really think she didn't feel Christmas and the tension that went with that for her? And even when she says, in that great response to the angel Gabriel, when she says, "I am the Lord's servant, may it be to me as you have said," we think, wow, what a great statement. But you know, that's actually a statement of quiet submission to a plan that she still can't get her head around. There's a lot of confusion there for her, but she's willing to go ahead with it. And even then, when we say, you know, Mary treasured these things in her heart and pondered upon them, you know, that always sounds wonderful and beautiful. But it's also another way of saying, you know what, Mary remembered these things and she tried to put the jigsaw puzzle pieces together, and not understanding, but she kept continuing to trust. For Mary, there was a lot of experience and feelings and emotions, and even the shepherds. Even the shepherds, you know, those, I don't know if shepherds are big and burly, but I just got this picture in my head of big burly shepherds. Even they are emotional at Christmas. You know, the very first thing, we heard it in the reading this morning, the very first emotion the shepherds feel is one of terror. One of absolute terror when the angel turns up. And you might say, well, what happened to the joy part? Well, the joy comes later. The joy comes when they go and see Jesus, and then they come back and they tell everybody what they have seen with great joy. So Christmas is an emotional time. It's a time of mixed emotions and experiences. The very first Christmas was. And no different today, is it? But then there's that other idea of what I meant by feeling it. That deeper level, that stirring in the soul. Christmas is a time that stirs us, isn't it? And sometimes in the most incredible places. For you, it might be the late night Christmas service. I know of a lot of people for whom that is an extremely powerful time. Maybe it's breaking bread at Christmas. Maybe it's singing your particular favorite Christmas carol, or whatever it is. See, I actually believe we are spirit wired. You've heard the phrase hardwired? I believe we are spirit wired. We are beings with a spirit that God has created. And we are spirit wired to resonate with the message from God. Let me tell you why I believe that. I was a few years ago now, I was talking to a lady. Some of you have heard me tell this story before. She was a lady who claimed that she had nothing to do with God. She didn't believe in God. She didn't follow Jesus. But each year she loved to watch the carols, the lessons and carols from King's College in England. Every year, religiously, she would watch it. And she loved it. And she told me, she said, "I love it when they get to the Gospel of John and they read those words, 'And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.'" She said, "I love those words." And this is what she said, quote, "Those words resonate with me." Wow. Of course they resonate with her. She's spirit-wired. She's been created by a God who is reaching out to her. And those words, the very words of the Creator, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us," they resonate with her. And they resonate with me. And they resonate with all of us. But maybe you're saying, "Well, Greg, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I'm still just not feeling it. There's just, well, there's so many attractions and so many distractions at Christmas." And you're right, there are. You know, there's the celebrating Christmas at church. That's a good thing, by the way. There's the family and the holidays. They're good things too. There's the end of year work. There's the end of school events. There's the carol services. They're all good. Nothing wrong with them. Then there's the other things that we want to critique a little bit more carefully. The busyness, the crowds, the consumerism, the shopping, the Boxing Day sales. Is it any wonder, in the midst of all that, and all that we pile into Christmas, is it any wonder that sometimes we feel like saying, "Christmas, nah, just not feeling it anymore"? Let me come back to the spirit-wired idea. You see, because there should be a connection. There should be a connection. Friends, we're talking about the most incredible story. We're talking about a cosmic story that has eternal ramifications. Do you not realize that some 2,000 years ago in a small Roman outpost in the middle of nowhere, God took on human flesh and dwelt among us. Do you realize the cosmic ramifications of that? God, for whom for many seems so far away, drew near. The truth was we were far away, but God drew near. And sometimes that there can be words or phrases or even a carol that sums it up. One of my favorite carols is O Holy Night, and there's a particular couple of lines which just sum it all up for me. For instance, long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope and a weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. That's feeling it, isn't it? A thrill of hope. A glorious morn is dawning in a world that's full of sin and error and it's pining. This is a story of hope and of life and of forgiveness and of and grace and peace and joy. And it begins in a manger and it finishes on a cross and continues on to an empty grave and a risen Savior. This is a story in which God draws near and brings a new and glorious morn. And friends, we need to engage with that. We have to engage with that. In fact, that's actually the point. I wonder if there's times when we say Christmas, I'm just not feeling it, is because we're not engaging with what Christmas is about. Can I have a bit of poetic license here? Thank you. The shepherds, sitting in the fields that night, and the angel comes and tells them the story that their Savior is born, and then all the heavenly hosts turn up and they start singing to the glory of God. Do you know, that's the same message that we now have 2,000 years later. It's the same message. They just got to see it firsthand. But here's the poetic license part. They could have sat in the fields that night. You know that the angels have all gone home, they've finished their shift, and they could have sat there and they could have said, you know, Bruce could have said to Fred, I don't know if shepherds are called Bruce and Fred, but that's just me making up. Fred, that's something you didn't expect to see tonight, is it? And Fred says back to Bruce, oh, mate, that's unbelievable. Did you hear them? Quite loud. And you know what? They could have sat there that night and they could have told the story again and again and again. And you know what? They could have come back next year and sat in the same fields and told the same story again and again and again. And the year after, and the year after. And each year, it becoming more of a distant memory. But they didn't do that, did they? What do the scriptures say? The shepherds said to one another, Fred, Bruce, whoever, let us go. Let us go and see this thing that we have heard about. And they went seeking Jesus. They went seeking. Friends, is it possible that the reason why we sometimes feel like Christmas, just not feeling it anymore, is because we are still sitting in the fields with the sheep. We've heard the message, but we didn't go seeking. Actually, you heard about the seeking in the second reading. I don't know if you've ever heard Luke chapter 11 read at a Christmas service before. I don't think I actually ever have. But it's so appropriate because the baby Jesus grows up. And what does he say to all who will listen? Seek and you will find. Seek hope and you will find it in me. Seek life and you will find it in me. Seek a way and you will find it in me. Seek truth and you will find it in me. But is it possible that our soul longs for that and yet we're just too tired, too cynical, too busy, it's just too familiar, it's just too predictable? It's just too comfortable sitting in the fields with the sheep. Because we've got lots of excuses, haven't we? We're good at excuses. Yeah, my favourite excuse is, well, Christmas is just all too commercial. It's too much hype. And so I'm going to protest. Do you know what? I don't like the commercialism either. And you know what? I can moan and I can groan about it, but it's not going to change anything. But my silent protest won't wash with God. Friends, if it's a case of Christmas, it's not feeling it anymore. My question to you is this. Are you seeking? Have you heard the message? And are you seeking? Are you seeking the one who drew near, took on flesh, and dwelt among us? Will you make that time today? Will you make that time now, in the relative quietness of this place? Will you come before our loving, gracious, merciful Father and ask Him to forgive us? And once again, begin to seek. Friends, God has crossed that cosmic journey from heaven to a stable. He's taken the first steps, as it were. It's now up to us to seek. No ifs, no buts, no sitting in the fields with the sheep. My dear friends, today your Saviour is born. May we know that truth. May we feel that truth. May we seek that truth. May we own that truth.